It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter by the qualities that are most important to you. Then, book free 15-minute consultations with any therapist you're interested in seeing. And because 95% of therapists at Alma accept insurance, you can find care that's affordable too. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy30 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy30.
Hey guys, John Barchard here. You guys know how much I love to play fantasy football. So I need you to listen up because I want you to join the highest rated fantasy football app. It's called Draft. You get to play in a real live snake draft, but be done in under 5 minutes, and they last just for 1 week. Drafts start every couple of minutes, so you can join one right now for week 5. And the best part is you get to play for cold, hard cash. And get this, your chances of winning are 80% better than on the salary cap sites, on all the DFS sites, because you're always trying to figure out, okay, where should I start this guy, or do the value, and I don't have enough money to do all that stuff. It doesn't happen on Draft. You get a selection of every premium player. You just got to be the smartest one in the room. It's a 6-player snake draft, so you get in, you get out. Tournaments start from $1 to $1,000 to everything in between. 3-person drafts, 6-person drafts, on and on. The options are limitless. And all new players get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit. All you have to use is promo code BGNR. That's right, play a real money game for free just by using promo code BGNR. And it gets even better. Draft is so sure that you'll love it that they are offering BGN radio listeners a money back guarantee up to $100. No excuses now. Just search Draft in your app store or go to draft.com and come play for free right now. Now with promo code BGNR.
Yeah! It is a week 10 edition of This Week in Fantasy. No, I cannot believe we are in double digits.
Unbelievable.
Week 10, cannot believe it. The Eagles, of course, on by this week, so along with a few other teams, the Chiefs as well, some fantasy relevant teams. We'll get into that with Sigmund Bloom coming up.
Can't wait
in just a minute. Sigmund, as always, kind enough to give me a strong 35 minutes of chat and a nice fun little twist on Inside the Mind of Sigmund Bloom. You won't want to miss that. That's coming up in just a second.
Nice.
Again, less of me, more of Sigmund. If you do want more of me, start sitcom on BleedingGreenNation.com coming out tomorrow, and some other stuff we'll get to after Sigmund Bloom. But as always, my edict, my promise to you, less of me, more of Sigmund. So let's get to it. And as always, I'd like to welcome in our weekly guest. You can follow his stuff over at footballguys.com, where he is the co-owner and the podcast, The Audible with Cecil Lammy, 8 days a week, literally from the couch. The one and only Mr. Sigmund Bloom. Sigmund, how are you, brother?
Excellent. And, you know, we're at that time in the football season where things will start sorting themselves out and the stakes start to really go up every week, and every Sunday becomes more interesting. And in fantasy football, we're in that last third And like most fantasy football seasons, you're just hanging on for dear life. And if you're 5-4, 6-3, trying to get to the dance and see what happens and make those small adjustments and improvements as we get closer to the final.
Yeah, 100%. You know, and it seems like, and I don't know if this is anecdotal because it's just the leagues I'm in, but it seems like there are a lot of 5-4, 4-5, 6-3 teams, not as many dominant teams, both in real football and for some reason in fantasy, at least in my experience this year.
Yeah, and it's because of that, how you perform in December, November, December will define your future. So it's good. We like it when fantasy football and NFL are in alignment.
It's exactly right. And the Eagles are awesome in both, which is good for me and good for a lot of our listeners. So let's dive in. Let's help all those people who really need to make a playoff push here. As always, for those who don't know, Sigma and I will rock through every single game on the Week 10, which is crazy, the Week 10 slate. And then we usually go inside the mind of Sigmund Bloom later, but a little twist on that coming up. So you want to stay tuned for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. I am very much looking forward to what will happen at the end of the pod. So don't leave before then. Don't stay for just the fantasy advice. As always, that's my favorite part of the podcast, Inside the Mind of Sigmund Bloom, with a twist this week. So let's dive into the football, and we'll get to that in just a little bit. Sigmund, let's start off with tonight first. Before we jump in, four teams on bye this week, the Ravens and Oakland. Some interesting names there with Oakland, but mostly the most affecting ones, the aforementioned Philadelphia Eagles, of course, and the Kansas City Chiefs. So some legit fantasy relevant players on those teams. So we will need some bye week fill-ins for a lot of people. Let's start off with tonight. Interesting NFC West game as the Arizona Cardinals somehow with Drew and Stanton sitting at 500 here, hosting a Seattle Seahawks team that really looked to be finding its groove and then just loses one out of nowhere at home to Washington. Unexpected, Sigmund, from at least a fantasy perspective. What's intriguing you in this one?
Yeah, if Arizona can somehow win at home, they'll be even in the standings with Seattle.
Be crazy, right? Crazy.
Yeah, really, really wild. And remember, when these two teams played in Arizona last year, it was the worst football game ever. The 6-6 tie.
Yes, so, it was literally set football back years.
It did. Seattle, but otherwise, Seattle and Russell Wilson usually have success in Arizona. The pass offense has been fantastic. Even in the loss to Washington, they still generated a lot of offense. Doug Baldwin can handle Patrick Peterson. Don't worry. He had a big game against them last year. So you're waiting to see the health on guys like Jimmy Graham and Paul Richardson. And once we see the game day inactives, then we know whether Tyler Lockett is one to get in our lineups. Maybe even Thomas Rawls, as he will start, and the offense can create some scoring opportunities. And on the Arizona side, they're going to try to stay close enough to give Adrian Peterson 25 or 30 carries. So he's safe to put in your lineup and could actually be a pleasant surprise if Arizona can hang in this game.
Yeah, Seattle's defense is certainly, as we've seen, not been quite the formidable bunch that has in the past so far this season. So Adrian, what was it, 37 carries last week or something insane? So they are certainly going to keep pounding the rock with that, and just on volume alone, certainly worth a play there. All right, let's jump in to the Sunday slate as we start off with a very unexciting, sadly, NFC North duo here is the awful-looking Green Bay Packers head in to take on a somewhat plucky but also very unexciting Chicago Bears team. This might be one of the uglier games of this year, Sigmund.
Yeah, absolutely. This is talking about setting football back. this is it, you know. We may go back to before the forward pass if Chicago has any say in this one.
Well, it's appropriate because the Bears don't use the forward pass anyway. So,
Green Bay's offense is struck in neutral. Just as a quick aside, I don't understand why Mike McCarthy won't let Brett Hundley throw downfield and just try to do some of the things that Aaron Rodgers does. If he fails, he fails. Then you'll know what you have in Brett Hundley. But there's no reason to play this so conservative. It just ensures that the team will lose and plays right into the hands of Chicago in this one. You don't trust any Packers, period. I would want to see two sustained weeks of production from any Packer before I would trust them in my lineup. Chicago's a pretty good defense anyway. Maybe you want the Chicago defense in this one. And, you want Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard's 37 carries. Jordan Howard says that's a first half. That's what they want to do. They want to do the same thing. 37 carries, no joke, 37 carries in the range of possibilities for Jordan Howard in this one.
Yeah, Mike McCarthy's quickly becoming a many fantasy owners' worst enemy. I mean, Aaron Jones gets 5 carries. I don't remember who tweeted out, but someone tweeted out something to the effect of, you know, Jamal Williams runs for a meaningless touchdown at the end and Aaron Jones gets 5 carries. It's like a fantasy owner's worst nightmare. And I couldn't agree more. I apologize. I can't remember who tweeted out. All right, moving on. Another, gosh, ugly, ugly game here. Not looking good for the Sunday slate so far is the Detroit Lions looking decent, but hosting a Cleveland Browns team that even coming off a bye, Sigmund, you can't expect much.
No, you got the Great Lakes Misery Bowl, you know. I mean, the Browns are more miserable right now. Don't Detroit this, Lions. This is a game where the Lions might inexplicably keep
it. Totally is, right? It's going to be like a 14-10 Cleveland Browns lead at the end, and then Stafford's going to lead a touchdown drive, and it'll just kill everybody.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to think that on the Cleveland side, you're staying away. Maybe Duke Johnson in PPR leagues can be help you in a pinch, you know, running back to flex pinch. On Detroit's side, Stafford's hot. Golden Tate and Marvin Jones are hot. And the running game, Cleveland stops the run, which is fine by Detroit. They probably want to shelve. Why not have Matthew Stafford throw the ball 40, 45, 50 times a game with the array they have? And Eric Ebron actually benched and looking like a football player again. And football, you know, football players at tight end do well against Cleveland.
Yeah, again is generous, but yeah, certainly the Browns are pretty bad against the tight end, and I'm with you there. I think plays right into what Detroit wants to do anyway. Amir Abdullah, though, nice to see him get in the end zone, but obviously certainly not a team that's run the ball well. Moving on, your beloved Steelers looking good, coming off a bye as well. Heading in to Indianapolis to face a Colts team coming off a win, which is something you can't say much of the season. T.Y. Hilton obviously seems to play well against bad opponents. Is there any hope for him this week against a good Steelers D?
I don't want to say no, but I would not play him unless I had no other viable options. And, you know, in one corner, we have the Colts, a bad team. Okay, they beat Cleveland and they beat San Francisco and they beat Houston without Deshaun Watson. But they're not competitive against good teams. But then you have a Steelers team that when they go on the road sometimes play down to their competition. And it's a pattern under Mike Tomlin that is disturbing. But with the bye week, you would hope they summon up a more focused effort. I think Ben Roethlisberger can be great in this one for fantasy with Martavis Bryant and Juju Smith-Schuster and Antonio Brown and arrested Le'Veon Bell. I would think that the Steelers offense will have a very successful day. And, you know, Jack Doyle is the only Colt I would trust because Jacoby Brissett's going to throw the ball to him like 10 plus times a game.
Yeah, I feel the same way about Doyle. He's definitely the only Colt I trust. On the Steelers side, wouldn't it be something if Martavis Bryant actually has fantasy value over the rest of the season?
Well, and he can have fantasy value without having fantasy value of his own in the sense that if he stretches the field and opens things up even more for Bell, Brown.
That's a really good point. Yeah, certainly. It's going to be hard to start Martavis for sure.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Not a lot of fun games on the slate. This one, again, this is kind of how deep you have to dig for some quality matchups this week, but this one somewhat intriguing as a, I guess you would say, hot Chargers team who's won, I believe, 3 straight, coming off a bye, heading in to Jacksonville to take on a first-place Jaguars team, Sigmund.
Yeah, well, and a first-place team, I'm even seeing questions asking Jags fans, some Jags fans enjoying it, saying that they're relevant, saying, yes, let's dream. And some saying, no, please don't talk this way yet. You know, how far can this defense take them in the playoffs? Can it be that dominant like the Denver defense was just a few years ago? But not getting ahead of ourselves, Jacksonville they have a home game, and their best performances have been away from home. The Chargers don't really have a home stadium, so these two teams would almost rather be orphaned.
It's crazy. You're absolutely right. Like, it's really funny, actually. This is like the two road teams. Right. They don't want to play at home.
Yeah, but the Jags fans should be coming.
It's depressing at their homes for them.
So hopefully the Jags hold serve, just like they did last week against Cincinnati. They need to hold serve to show that they're a playoff team and a team to be contended with the defense they have. But on the Charger side, you still think Melvin Gordon rested is going to be very, very good. Maybe Hunter Henry, because you know you're not going to attack the wide receivers, the cornerbacks, if you're Phillip Rivers, although Phillip Rivers has the same stubbornness about him that Ben Roethlisberger had. And Roethlisberger threw 5 interceptions. So, there's more success stories of throwing to the tight end against the Jags than wide receivers. On the Jag side, Leonard Fournette will be back. And you know,
maybe. Assume he doesn't miss any more treatments or photos right. or anything, right?
Don't Jonas Gray on us, all right?
Man, Tom Coughlin is really Tom Coughlin
well,
down there.
Can't you just picture, James, can't you just picture me like, now we see big things in you, but we want you to be disciplined, and we think this is going to help you down the line, you know?
Of course. It's Tom Coughlin.
Yeah, it's great.
That's like the most Coughlin move of all time. Bench your star player because he missed a meeting. Like, it's so Tom Coughlin.
Right. But Grant, we call him Grandpa Coughlin on our show. Grandpa's going to, you know. So Blake Bortles has been playing better. You're not going to necessarily go with Blake Bortles against the Chargers. And look, if there's a way the Jags can lose this game, it's leaving Blake Bortles back there to get sacked by Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram. So the passing game is going to be quiet in this one. Lots and lots of Leonard Fournette.
Yeah, totally agree with you. One of the other, like, three other games that are actually decent this week here as we move on with the 1 o'clock slate here is the winners of 6 straight games, New Orleans Saints head into Buffalo to take on a Buffalo team that still sitting at 5-3 and has been significantly better at home than on the road. Yeah. Really interesting matchup here.
Yeah, you're right. There's a couple of things clashing here that are strong forces in the NFL so far this year. Buffalo at home and New Orleans over the last 6 games. But Drew Brees is playing well. Buffalo's pass defense is starting to show cracks. So you like Michael Thomas, assuming everything's okay with him. He didn't practice on Wednesday. Ted Ginn is warming up. And, of course, the running backs. This team is supporting 2 fantasy running back ones in Kamara and Ingram. And on the Buffalo side, you like Tyrod Taylor. I have no idea about who he's going to throw to. We'll see how Kelvin Benjamin gets worked in. And they've got different guys taking turns at wide receiver. But Taylor's creating a lot of fantasy value. And I could easily see this being a high-scoring game. Just like we saw with Tyrod Taylor and James Winston a few weeks ago in Buffalo. 30-27, I think, was the score there. So this should be a fantasy buffet.
Totally agree with you. I don't think Buffalo defense isn't a thing anymore. You know, don't worry about the defense. I just think you're right. Tyrod's been able to put up points. It's going to be really interesting to see how Kelvin Benjamin is worked in there. The first real legitimate threat he's had, I guess, since Sammy Watkins. But Watkins, you know, is still kind of yet to figure it out. Benjamin, while I'm not a huge Kelvin Benjamin fan, has certainly had some legit success in the NFL. Moving on up there with one of the uglier games of the week as we get back to the rough-looking ones, unexciting yet relatively productive Jets team heads down to Tampa Bay to take on former Jets star quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Tampa Bay Bucks. Jameis Winston eating too many wins. Now out for the week here. Wash your hands, Jameis. All right, buddy. Like, that was too much. But no Jameis this week. Fitz, for what it's worth, was that Buffalo game or another game where the one where he came in for Jameis?
Yeah.
Did kind of throw all over the place in garbage time. Oh, I guess it was the Arizona game where they were losing by a lot. How do you see this one playing out?
Yeah, the Jets. This is a game for the Jets to pull to 5-5 going into their bye. And they're not.
How about it? Just like everyone thought.
And it's not hard to picture them even as a 6-3 team right now. Two of the games they lost were there. The game against Atlanta was right there for the taking, and obviously the game against Miami.
Miami,
they're not a good team on the road. But then you have Tampa Bay, which is a pirate ship. It's swirling down your toilet bowl right now, going down the drain. So, you know, this is a team that's very likely to be firing their coach soon, I think, and hitting a breaking point. But, you know, on the Jets side, Matt Forte is hot right now. The Bucks defense is terrible. I like what Robbie Anderson's been doing. I like what Austin Ferrian Jenkins has been doing. He's had some bad luck on touchdowns. He really should have scored a touchdown just about every game. On the Tampa side, no Mike Evans. So I don't know who you're going to trust.
Friggin' Mike Evans.
Yeah,
man.
Maybe Cam.
Killing
right?
me, dude. Maybe don't be an idiot.
Yeah. Well, it's just
like, and also, I mean, that was just like, that was unnecessary, it felt like.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, right? Because it's just like life where Mike Evans and AJ Green, like the reputations, and Green got thrown out of the game. I mean, I don't understand why Jalen Ramsey got thrown out.
Me either. He didn't do anything. All he did, he finished the play and he pushed him down. That happens all the time in the NFL.
You really got me off on a tangent now, but really, to me, this shows one of the better and more underappreciated parts of the NFL, which is that one-on-one mental battle, like emotional, spiritual
battle.
And
Jalen Ramsey was 100% in his head.
Oh, and he still is. I mean, he's still the comments this week. It's great. He's standing behind it. And this is stuff that builds up over years. And I recommend everybody, the Players Tribune, there was a piece that was A.J. Green talking about the five most difficult cornerbacks he faced and why. Jalen Ramsey did not make that list, but it'd be cool for him to write about that too.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think personally, I've said this on a couple other shows before, but I think right now, for my money, Jalen Ramsey, the single best cornerback in the NFL. I mean, that dude is terrific. And Boye is amazing, too. It's unbelievable what they have. Interesting that you brought up the point about Dirk Cutter potentially on the way out. Crazy to think, and I know this has kind of been around this week, but obviously, you know, the coaching class from a couple years ago with Dirk Cutter, Ben McAdoo could be on the way out at any moment. Obviously, Adam Gase has been struggling as of late with some issues. Hugh Jackson has been epically disastrous. And, of course, the one guy who nobody wanted out of that whole class, Doug Peterson at 8-1, it's just it's crazy. It's really has not gone the way I think a lot of people expected, especially after Cutter and McAdoo have good first season. You would think. Crazy. All right, moving on. Another interesting one here. One of the better games on the slate, which is also crazy, but interesting game here is Minnesota heading in to Washington to take on Washington after they get that big win against Seattle. How do you see this kind of important NFC playoff clash playing out here?
Yeah, Washington offense, so many injuries, and Minnesota's a good defense. So you're not raising expectations for anybody in this game. You know, I even think you've got the speed on the Minnesota defense. This won't be a Chris Thompson game. So asking, you know, will Reed and Crowder be active or not, how that changes the outlook, I don't know that it matters. But Washington's showing heart and ability to hang around, and they can still hang around against a limited Minnesota offense with Case Keenum, who now has to think about Teddy Bridgewater behind him if they start losing. But they can win with defense. They can win with more conservative offense. You know, Thielen, Diggs, Rudolph, McKinnon in PPR leagues, these are all safe plays against Washington. This feels like a 17-16 back and forth close kind of game, as you said, as Washington is staying alive. And Minnesota, you know, they haven't been the same team on the road. Remember, they barely beat Chicago on the road. So it'll be tight.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Certainly think it's kind of similar to that game in Seattle, a defensive struggle where the defense is really win the day. Real quick, before we move on, Sigmund, yeah. We really have breaking news during the pod. This is not really aggressive breaking news, but interesting a little bit from a fantasy perspective. Martellus Bennett is cut by the Packers. We already talked about the Packers, but I know Bennett, you know, with Rodgers had some potential. Obviously, I don't think you're starting him with Hundley when he was there, but interesting name, kind of your thoughts on potentially Bennett surfacing somewhere else, maybe.
I don't know. He said he already was talking about retiring. I mean, how often during a season does a player say, I'm probably going to hang it up? And Bennett's
it's a great point.
There's a lot of stuff going on outside of football for him. And he got his ring last year. And, you know, there was talk leading up to the point that he got traded to New England. There was a talk about how he was a player that's a net negative, whatever he contributes on the field because of things off the field, which I think was overblown. And New England showed how he could fit in on a winning team. And he gave them a lot in that Super Bowl season. And he got what he wanted out of football. So I think Martellus Bennett's one of the best personalities in football. And I'll miss him.
I will too, but and I love his brother too. I think they're both, you know, at least personality wise, I think they're both, you know, kind of fun and good for the game. Martellus especially though. I mean, he's the quirky, weird guy,
he's the best and unicorn.
He really is, you know. And I know that's the nickname, but he really is. And if you've ever heard, go out and do yourself a favor and listen to a Martellus Bennett interview with anyone at any time, and you will understand how interesting and you know what a cool kind of guy he is, you know.
Wow, his own story of how he gave himself the nickname the Black Unicorn.
Yeah, go look that up. All right, let's round out the 1 o'clock slate here. The last game on the 1 o'clock slate, I guess. I don't think you'd call this a good game, but I guess it's an interesting one. The Bengals playing somewhat better football despite the ugly loss this past weekend, heading into Tennessee to take on a Titans team that I guess theoretically fighting with the Jags for that division.
Yeah, absolutely. Or at least a playoff spot, because James, as we march through the AFC.
Yes, good point.
I mean, it's Buffalo and Tennessee right now, or Buffalo.
Yes, it's great. What? Wow. You are like, it's a really bad conference.
I mean, Baltimore, who's on bye. I mean, who are Miami? I mean, who are the other teams now?
Yeah, the Bengals. Like, yeah, I mean, could they turn it?
That's 3-5. If they,
it's crazy.
But the reality, just like we were talking about with our fantasy teams, is that, you know, these teams have how, and that's why the Chargers are interesting going into Jacksonville this weekend. A team that can play better football, maybe go 5-3, 6-2 in the second half of the season, might sneak into the playoffs in the AFC. And yeah, so Tennessee, much like Jacksonville, hasn't come together for this team yet this year. But just win the games you're supposed to win, and you should get into the playoffs. This is a game they're supposed to win. The whole Cincinnati offense looks shaky to me. You're not going to bench A.J. Green, and Tyler Kroft can still help you in a pinch, but the team looks shaky. Dalton looks shaky. The running game can't get anything going. And Tennessee's defense isn't scary, but they're effective enough. Tennessee, a more healthy Marcus Mariota, who can run. Corey Davis is back. This is an offense that I still think can build some momentum, and I would expect Tennessee to have offensive success here. Delanie Walker also looks like a good play here, and it might not be an exciting game, but I think we'll see, much like with Jacksonville against the Chargers, whether Tennessee can take care of business at home, and that's definitely good enough to be a playoff team, if not host a playoff game in the AFC.
Yeah, no, I think you're right about that. All right, let's move on to the 4 o'clock window of games, the first of which looked like it would have been a really fun game if Deshaun Watson had not gone
every
down.
Every single
as it
show
is.
For the rest of the year, we're going to warn Deshaun Watson. I mean, it happens
naturally. We should. We should.
We're not doing it on purpose. Every spot, every show I've done, somehow every time it comes up.
It has to. Like, he's so much fun. It's such a bummer. But as it is, Jared Goff certainly having a nice season, turning it around there as the Rams really threatening for a bye in the NFC, which is like a who saw that coming, as the Rams hosting a Deshaun Watson-less Houston Texans team. Is this just a Rams and a walk?
Yeah, really. This Rams offense is looking so exciting right now, and the Texans defense is absolutely, especially deep through the air, able to be exploited. So you're staying away from all Texans except DeAndre Hopkins at this point. Try to trade him if you have him on that week last week, because they have Jacksonville and Pittsburgh in weeks 15 and 16. You're not going to want to have DeAndre Hopkins in the playoffs with whoever's throwing him the ball. And, this is the kind of game for the Rams where you may be going down to put Cooper Kupp in your lineup. You were rewarded if you put Robert Woods in last week, Sammy Watkins. 50 points could be more common than we would think going forward with this Rams team.
That is crazy to think about. Jared Goff, certainly, I watched him last year and I was like, that guy's not an NFL quarterback. It's amazing what McVay has done in a year there. Moving on to what potentially the game of the week here is, again, not a great week as far as that's concerned, but the Dallas Cowboys, who knows if Zeke will be there or not. Heading into Atlanta to play the Falcons. How do you see this one playing out, and how are you kind of obviously no one knows what they'll do with Zeke, but how are you kind of playing the situation of now?
And if Zeke's out, then we're just doing fact-finding. I'm not playing any one of the three running backs, and I do like Rod Smith. If there's any talent that can separate from the other two, it would be Rod Smith. Or is Dez Bryant going to play? And I think even if he plays, he wouldn't be that effective. Terrence Williams – I'm going to watch his practice status. He had the best game of his career. And I don't just mean numbers.
Yeah, he went nuts, man.
But he looked like the player.
No, he looked great.
Maybe back at Baylor he could turn into.
100%, yeah.
So, he could get a big opportunity in this game. Bryce Butler could get an opportunity. Jason Witten. Dak Prescott's playing so well, I feel like I want players on the other end of his passes. So if the names change, then I may want some different players. On the Atlanta side, this is an underachieving team. And where the AFC is so kind, like, it's okay, you're 3-5, you're still alive. Yeah. And the NFC, 4-4, it's dripping, it's slipping away from you, And Atlanta is slipping away from them, I think. And it's a home game that they have to get. And Julio Jones dropping those passes are being missed. He's a little banged up. Is Devontae Freeman going to get on track? You just got to keep playing Julio and Devontae Freeman. Maybe not so much Matt Ryan. I don't know. But he actually did put up numbers last week. This one's going to be really fascinating, as both of these teams, I think, saw themselves on their way to much more than the first half of the season may indicate they're headed to.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I think it's just a monster, obviously, playoff game in potential playoff implications here in this one, as I get my words together there, especially for, this Atlanta team. They need to turn around, and then Dallas is heading to Philly hosting Philly next week. So a really big one for them as well. Massive game here. As we go from the potential game of the week to the potential worst game of the week.
Year.
Yeah, this is, As the New York Giants, the one team that has found a way to actually make the winless 49ers a favorite at home. Like, just move on? What is there anything here?
It burns. It burns.
Orleans
Darkwa. I mean, because San Francisco's defense isn't good, or maybe, you know, Evan Ingram, of course, you're going to play Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, Evan Ingram's, I think we could just say he's the play
Hyde,
each week.
The Giants defense, Carlos Hyde, he's not going to go to my bench. He's too good of a player to do that. But, you know, this is just two teams headed for the top five next year. One of these teams needs a quarterback now, only one.
Yeah, great point, as I do love that move for the Niners. All right, speaking of that, we go heading in, the Patriots, heading into Denver for the Sunday Nighter, as Brock Osweiler is still the starting quarterback of the Denver Broncos. So is this just a Patriots route?
This is a game like they should have everybody bring a fruit or a vegetable to throw at Brock Osweiler. You know,
he's so bad. Well, and he's so bad.
Let's make sure he gets one more home start in Denver before we end this.
Right,
this,
and Vance Joseph's like he needs one more start to prove that he's the guy. He's not the guy, Vance.
Well, I don't
you know it. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, but hey, Vance Johnson might not be the guy either.
Yeah, right, having the time of his life though. So
you know, good. I mean, maybe you play Demaryius Thomas on the Denver side.
Finally got in the end zone.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
on the New England side, it's still okay. I think it's still okay to play Brady. I mean, he's not going to be in the top three of my rankings this week, but I imagine you're going to play him if you got him, because you're going to see a lot of Rob Gronkowski and a lot of passing to the running backs here. You know, I play it straight up and expect that even though Alshon Jeffrey had a good week last week, not as much Brandon Cooks. We'll see about – I don't think Chris Hogan's going to play, but that doesn't mean I'm going to play Danny Amendola. They'll work some more Philip Dorsett in to stretch the field, but I think it'll be a big Rob Gronkowski night. I mean, James White, Deion Lewis could catch some – Rex Burkhead. These are all good receivers out of the backfield. I would expect that to be how New England moves the ball.
100%. And I think Brady's a must play. I think, you know, look, Wentz just had four touchdown passes against Denver, and obviously that's not going to happen every week, but they're certainly, I think, more vulnerable to the pass than the run this year. And Gronkowski, the perfect weapon to beat up that defense, as they've been terrible against tight ends this season. All right, the Monday Nighter, a real potential snore fest here. Not a lot to get excited about, but the Dolphins head into Carolina to take on the Panthers. Anything interesting or exciting in this one for you, Sigmund?
Aqua against Teal.
You're right.
I mean, which shade of blue do you like better?
You're right. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a beautiful thing to watch, man.
It will be, at least it's not a Thursday night game, and they're not doing like the Cutler rush uniforms. But
thank God.
The Miami offense runs through Cutler now, which makes Jarvis Landry, Devontae Parker more interesting plays. Even if you have to dig down deep, Kenyon Drake and Damian Williams got a ton of receptions out of the backfield, and I would expect them to stick with that against Carolina. On the Carolina side, which Cam Newton are we going to get? He runs enough that you leave him in your lineup, even though, you know, sometimes he's not going to move the ball through the air. Devin Funchess is safe in this one as the number one receiver for now until Greg Olsen comes back. We saw Christian McCaffrey become the number one running back, I think, in a move that's going to help this team, and Miami's defense is crumbling a little bit. So, Carolina, it's funny that they're 6-3. They don't feel like it feels like their teams like Dallas and Dallas is better than they are. I can't say Atlanta is because Atlanta went and got outclassed, but it doesn't feel like Carolina is a team in control of their destiny the way they are. And as we talked about in the AFC, if Miami, every time we think we know Miami's a bad team, they go and surprise us. So maybe they'll do that again on Monday night.
Yeah, no, it's two teams that it's hard to get a handle on. This Carolina team, I agree. It doesn't feel like they're winning these games that they're winning, but yet they're winning them. Again, follow him on Twitter at Sigmund Bloom. He's a great follow on Twitter. Footballguys.com, The Audible with Cecil Lammy. So now would be the time where normally we go inside the mind of Sigmund Bloom. But today, for the first time ever, we have a twist on this. And Sigmund, why don't you lead us into this?
Yeah, inside the mind of James Seltzer. And,
yes!
And my show, I mean, my name is Sigmund. My show is on the couch. So, you know, these questions are going to be somewhat to learn about James, but maybe not in a way that he realizes we're learning about him whenever you answer these questions. So we'll start. Okay?
I'm ready. I'm excited. Nervous.
Okay.
Very nervous.
Okay. Number one, you get to change your name. It can't be James Seltzer. What's your new name?
Wow. That is a terrific question. What is my new name?
You can come back to it if you want to like ruminate on it, but you know.
I'm big on gut reactions here with these things. So I think I would want something interesting, something that is not your standard name, but I also would want something that is feels strong and intelligent.
Sure.
All right, I'm going to go, and I would still keep the Jew that I am. Uh-huh. I think that seltzer has a little Jew to it. I think I would keep that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go, but I like the distinctiveness of it. I do like having a Z in the last name. I'm going to go with Ethan Seitzer. See, that's Ethan a little Seitzer. Close on the Ethan last Seitzer, name, yeah. But I like the last name a lot.
Yeah,
so
Ethan
I'm going
Seitzer.
To stick in the same
it's good.
Range.
It's good. So you feel good about your name. You've grown into your name, and your name is grown into. That's good.
I do. I like it. And I love having a Z in the last name. I don't know why, but there's something cool about that.
You're comfortable. You don't walk around feeling like wishing you were somebody else. It's good.
Exactly.
Second
I'm happy, Sigmund.
Yeah, you are. And I think this is shining through. Second question. who was the first famous person or pop culture figure that you had a crush on?
Cindy Crawford. I was in love with Cindy Crawford from the time I was like, I don't know, 7 or 8 or whatever it was that I first remember. And I think it was because she must have been on like a Sports Illustrated or something like that. And then I don't remember how it kind of spiraled, but I was in love with Cindy Crawford when I was young.
Yeah, birthmark.
I'm probably not the only one I'm guessing. I was also a big Christie Brinkley fan as well.
Yeah, it's generation. I'm a little bit older than you because I'm more from like the Farrah Fawcett generation, you know.
Oh, I could totally see that too.
Or Bo Derek. Next. If you started a country, what color or colors would be in the flag?
That is a great, great question. Green is my favorite color, so I would absolutely have green there. And I've always liked the combination of green and yellow.
Okay.
So I would certainly do a green and yellow base with, I think, and I'm going like Africa, I guess.
Sure,
a little
sure.
Black in there. But I think that would be somewhat the color scheme. Think black, yellow, and green.
There you go. No, that's also, you know, Rasta.
That's actually, I didn't even think about that. Good point. Jamaica. There we go.
It's good. Jamaica. I think that you're from Jamaica.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I think that hits home.
So, you know, Ethan, that's where you would become Ethan Seitzer.
okay. Oh, that was
and
good.
This may tie it all together. Last question. I'll do 4 questions. What or who is your spirit animal?
Wow, that is a great one because I feel like I've said that person or that thing is my spirit animal many a time. And thus, I feel like there are numerous to choose from, but I feel like I need to choose the one that is most me. I'm a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah.
I am someone who likes to be the center, you know, center of a party. I like to be loud. I like to be boisterous and out there. Man, this is a great question. Who is my spirit? I mean, kind of my one dog is a little bit my spirit animal because he's exactly like me. But that's kind of a literal animal. As I stall for the perfect name here. Oh, man. I'm going to say my spirit animal, man, it's hard, Sigmund. I understand the pressure I put on you each week to come up with these answers on the spot. I would say it's someone jovial and positive, and usually, I'm seeing like an image and not a specific.
Well, describe
person.
The image. Just describe the image.
Okay. It's almost like a kind of like a Philip Seymour Hoffman-esque rosy cheeks kind of smile. Of course, I picked someone who was very dark and disturbed.
Well, there you go.
Like, it's a very fascinating choice, right? But also, and even though I look nothing like Philip Seymour Hoffman, but it's more of a positive, jovial kind of,
right.
Life of the party type of person.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. And I think our next 4 questions, that will be a good jumping off point, is to further probe this fascination with darkness that you have, that you tell yourself is about being happy. And we'll go from there next session.
That is a as the psychiatrist comes out. This is terrific, Sigmund. Great job. That was I feel like I've learned a lot about myself even through the inside the mind of James Seltzer.
That's right. Every answer is important.
You're right. So as always, again, footballguys.com, on Twitter at Sigmund Blumas. That was a very, very fun twist. We are definitely doing this again. And of course, we will also go inside Sigmund's mind as again. Now I've like got a whole newfound respect for the ability that you have to answer these questions quick, thoughtfully, and on the spot. Because I have never once, for everyone out there who's listening inside the mind of Sigmund Blum, never once told Sigmund a question ahead of time. He just goes on the spot, and now I know how hard it is. That very impressive. Follow him again at Sigmund Blum on Twitter. Sigmund, cannot wait for next week.
Thanks, Ethan.
Yeah, that's good.
That was awesome.
Awesome, awesome stuff from Sigmund, as always. Less awesome from me.
I'm an idiot.
Who literally, no joke, 2 seconds, 2 seconds after hanging up with Sigmund, I realized who my spirit animal is, and it was all that I described minus the picture. It's Joel Embiid.
Yes.
How did I not think of Joel Embiid?
What are you doing here?
That is my spirit animal. Fun, loving, life of the party, likable, funny guy. Not that I'm saying I'm likable or funny. I yearn to be. I don't know if that actually comes through.
No!
But Joel Embiid is my spirit animal. I'm revising my answer. Sorry, Sigmund. I should have had it for you in the moment. I did not. I hate myself for it. But Joel Embiid, definitely my spirit animal. I'm guessing other people can get on board with that. All right. So thank you, of course, for listening to me and Sigmund. Really fun stuff with Sigmund there. And again, coming up tomorrow, start sitcom on bleedinggreennation.com.
Who cares?
Saturday, 1 to 3 on WIP, John Barchard, Brendan Lee Gout, and myself talking Birds, bye week, and some other stuff. And then, of course,
this is getting old.
On Sunday, we are not doing our Sunday morning gambling fantasy show. Instead, we're doing the beer bash blowout.
Oh!
Down at Delaware Park. So if you have not reached out yet, reach out to us at BGN Radio. We still have a few spots left to come down and have some beers, do some gambling, watch some football, talk some fantasy down at Delaware Park. On Sunday, it's going to be awesome. I believe 10 to 4, somewhere in that range. So definitely hit us up at BGN_radio if you are interested in joining us down there. And again, start sitcom tomorrow for BleedingGreenNation.com. So as always, good luck. Go out there. Let's win.
I want winners.
As we talked about with Sigmund, if you're 3-5, you know, 5-4, yeah, you're not going to be 3-5, excuse me. If you're 3-6, 4-5, 5-4, 6-3, these are the big weeks here to sew up a playoff spot, to fight for a playoff spot, to get a playoff spot, to do everything you need to.
I want to see people rip their heart out of their chest.
Again, to win each week. It is a weekly game. So again, thank you for listening. I'll be back next week, as always, with This Week in Fantasy, and again tomorrow with the Start Sit column on BleedingGreenNation.com. So as always, for Sigmund Blum and for myself, thank you for listening to the Week 10 edition of This Week in Fantasy. We'll be right back.